WMFHLP, Columbus.
Sonnet 28 by William Shakespeare. Read for LibriVox.org by Clarica. How can I then return in happy plight, that I am debarred the benefit of rest? When day's oppression is not eased by night, but day by night and night by day oppressed, and each, though enemies to either's reign, do in consent shake hands to torture me, the one by toil, the other to complain how far I toil, still farther off from thee. I tell the day to please him thou art bright, and dost him grace when clouds do blot the heaven. So flatter I the swart-complexioned night, when sparkling stars twire not, thou gildest the even. But day doth daily draw my sorrows longer, and night doth nightly make grief's length seem stronger.
Surprised by Joy, Impatient as the Wind, by William Wordsworth. Read for LibriVox.org by Elizabeth Klett. Surprised by joy, impatient as the wind, I turned to share the transport. Oh, with whom but thee, deep buried in the silent tomb, that spot which no vicissitude can find. Love, faithful love, recalled thee to my mind. But how could I forget thee? Through what power, even for the least division of an hour, have I been so beguiled as to be blind to my most grievous loss? That thought's return was the worst pang that sorrow ever bore, save one only, when I stood forlorn, knowing my heart's best treasure was no more, that neither present time nor years unborn could to my sight that heavenly face restore.
The Gossamer Spider by Charlotte M. Young. Creature no bigger than a pin, most wonderful of all that spin, an acrobatic fairy. Nay, what rope dancer from himself can draw his lines like this small elf, marking his progress airy? Or breezy downs from bent to bent that slender viewless pathway went, traced in some moment's shimmer, but far too fine for common sight, until the sunset's sinking light makes the whole network glimmer. Now here, now there, a rainbow gleam floats o'er the turf in silvery stream of strange, mysterious lightness. Then early autumn's frost will strew each thread with glancing beads of dew, jewels of flashing brightness.
The Grave, from the Anglo-Saxon, by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Recorded for LibriVox.org by Peter Yearsley. For thee was a house built, ere thou wast born. For thee was a mould meant, ere thou of mother cam'st. But it is not made ready, nor its depth measured, nor is it seen how long it shall be. Now I bring thee where thou shalt be, now I shall measure thee, and the mould afterwards. Thy house is not highly timbered, it is unhigh and low. When thou art therein, the heelways are low, the sideways unhigh. The roof is built thy breast full nigh, so thou shalt in mould dwell full cold, dimly and dark. Doorless is that house, and dark it is within. There thou art fast detained, and death hath the key. Loathsome is that earth house, and grim within to dwell. There thou shalt dwell, and worms shall divide thee. Thus thou art laid, and leavest thy friends. Thou hast no friend who will come to thee, who will ever see how that house pleaseth thee, who will ever open the door for thee, and descend after thee, for soon thou art loathsome and hateful to see.
The Inner Vision by William Wordsworth, read for LibriVox.org. Most sweet it is with unuplifted eyes to pace the ground, if path there be or none, while a fair region round the traveller lies, which he forbears again to look upon. Pleased rather with some soft ideal scene, the work of fancy, or some happy tone of meditation, slipping in between the beauty coming and the beauty gone. If thought and love desert us, from that day let us break off all commerce with the muse, with thought and love, companions of our way. Whate'er the senses take or may refuse, the mind's internal heaven shall shed her dews of inspiration on the humblest lay.
The Cock and the Pearl by Aesop. A cock was once strutting up and down the farmyard among the hens, when he espied something shining in the straw. "Ho, ho," quoth he, "that's for me," and soon rooted it out from beneath the straw. What did it turn out to be but a pearl that by some chance had been lost in the yard? "You may be a treasure," quoth Master Cock, "to men that prize you, but for me, I would rather have a single barleycorn than a peck of pearls." Precious things are for those that can prize them.
Child's Play by Laura E. Richardson. Once a child was sitting on a great log that lay by the roadside, playing, and another child came along and stopped to speak to him. "What are you doing?" asked the second child. "I am sailing to the southern seas," replied the first, "to get a cargo of monkeys and elephant tusks and crystal balls as large as oranges. Come up here, and you may sail with me if you like." So the second child climbed upon the log. "Look," said the first child, "see how the foam bubbles up before the ship, and trees and floats away behind. Look, the water is so clear that we can see the fishes swimming about, blue and red and green. There goes a parrotfish. My father told me about them. I should not wonder if we saw a whale in about a minute." "What are you talking about?" asked the second child peevishly. "There is no water here, only grass, and anyhow this is nothing but a log. You cannot get to islands in this way." "But we have got to them," cried the first child. "Where are them now? I see the palm trees waving and the white sand glittering. Look, there are the natives gathering to welcome us on the beach. They have feather cloaks and necklaces and anklets of copper as red as gold. Oh, and there is an elephant coming straight toward us." "I should think you would be ashamed," said the second child. "That is Widow Slocum." "It's all the same," said the first child. Presently the second child got down from the log. "I am going to play stick knife," he said. "I don't see any sense in this. I think you are pretty dull to play things that aren't really there." And he walked slowly away. The first child looked after him a moment. "I think you were pretty dull," he said to himself, "to see nothing but what is under your nose." But he was too well-mannered to say this aloud, and having taken in his cargo, he sailed for another port.
The Call of the Wild by Robert Service. Have you gazed on naked grandeur, where there's nothing else to gaze on, set pieces and drop curtain scenes galore, big mountains heaved to heaven, which the blinding sunsets blaze, and black canyons where the rapids rip and